Welcome to a podcast by Michael Servetus on the Book of the Errors of the Trinity, written in 1531 when he was 19 years old. A rare book. Chapter 4. This Spirit of Christ is the eternal power of the Word of God, as it says, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. In the same manner, Peter speaks of the eternal Spirit of Christ when he says, being made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and preached unto the spirits that were in prison. Which passage I shall here explain, because it contributes much to the knowledge of Christ. Some understand it in one way, others in another, but I should never venture to declare what is, in my own opinion, the proper meaning, save after comparing other scriptures, especially since Peter is here obviously referring to something said in Genesis. And Rabbi Moses the Egyptian, in his Liber Perplexorum, agrees with Peter, relating how the generation rebelled in the time of the flood. And in Wisdom it says, when the nations had exalted themselves. It is just these that Peter calls disobedient and rebellious. And Peter here shows Christ's Spirit as an eternal power, and that Christ was formerly a Savior through water, as he now is through baptism. For the Master also, from whom Peter received this, in the Gospel compares the days of Noah to himself. And the preaching of the apostles does not go beyond the limits of the Master's words, for so they are truly called disciples. Yet we shamelessly go beyond both at our own pleasure, nor have we anything that savors of the disciples of Christ. Chapter 5. Therefore, just as God went out into Egypt, went and passed through the midst of Egypt, slaying the firstborn, so in the time of Noah he passed through the midst of the world, and having thus set out, he made his will known to them. Passed through, I say, by his declaration, by doing to them the evils which he had said. What our translator renders, preached, is in Greek, ikerexen, which means to herald abroad. That is, he published the decree. He made his power known to them as well as to Pharaoh. It tells in favor of this that in the following epistle of the same Peter, speaking of the same matter, a word of the same meaning is repeated, saying, Noah, a herald of righteousness. For karuka, which our translator has rendered herald, properly means an officer with a flag of truce in time of war, and thus Christ declared war upon them. Note also the word righteousness, for there was a judgment there. Porutheus, that is, having set out when he had come, when he had ordered them to be punished, as he himself is wont to say, I will come, I will pass through, I will descend, I will speak about them. I will do as I said. The sense, therefore, is that having set out, he proclaimed or pronounced judgment upon them. And this is what he condemned the world means. Likewise, against the Egyptians, the nation to which they have been in bondage, will I pass judgment, saith the Lord. And in this sense, the expression, to give judgment, is taken. You will note the wonderful interpretation of the spirit of Peter. For all the movements of Jehovah, all his actions that you will ever find in the law, as when he says, spoke, went, came, passed through, came down, and wrought, were movements of Elohim, were the personal actions of Christ in God, because Christ was then with God. This will serve for what needs to be said, and below you shall understand all these things more clearly. Already from of old, Habakkuk ascribes them to Christ, saying, God will come forth from the south. He hath given the earth to other nations. He hath ground the eternal mountains in pieces. He hath made the everlasting hills to bow. His ways are everlasting ways. I say, because already from everlasting he makes his way, comes and passes through all things, and to the word Halakoth. Well corresponds what Peter says, Porutheus, for Halak and Poruomai mean the same thing. Chapter 6. When Peter said, to the spirits, he indicates their thoughts, oppressed by evil spirits. God saw that every thought of his heart was intent upon evil, even as Paul, when the subject was about bringing the thoughts of men into captivity to the obedience of Christ, says that the warfare is against evil spirits, who held captive the minds of the reprobate. And the sense is, to those spirits in prison, that is, who were held in a spiritual prison, or in whose spirits they were in prison, for he spoke in a figure, though not without great emphasis. And when he calls them spirits, he is alluding to that which the angels were called. But there was a spiritual prison, and they were made disobedient by wicked spirits. For the wicked spirit, according to Paul, is the spirit that worketh in the sons of disobedience. For that is why they are said to have been rebellious and disobedient. Note also that the meaning of the word phulake is taken from the words of the Master, and we must always recur to what was said by him, for it is used in Matthew. It is the same word and the same subject of which mention is made here and there. And as Vala here observes, phulake is the night watch, when thieves come and men are asleep, and then the unclean spirits hold sway. And so mention is made both of spirits and of prison. Those wretched angels, therefore, were asleep in the dark night, and the day seized them suddenly as a thief. Christ and also Peter suggest that a flood overwhelms them by night. For this very thing is the prison of our spirits, the hour and the power of darkness. Moreover, he slew the firstborn in Egypt in the silence of the night, and in the same passage, phulake is taken for a watching in the night. Note how the discourse of Christ is interwoven with what he had said of Noah, and how the words of Peter answer to it. Hence he upbraids the spirits because they did not watch as Christ commanded. And when the spirits are asleep in the watches of the night, the sudden lightning, so to speak, gives them no time to awake. There are also other circumstances which were the cause of Peter's speaking of the spirits, namely from Genesis's literal way of speaking, which Peter observes, for it says there, he smote every soul, he took away every spirit from their midst. Also God said in his heart, and being inwardly grieved at heart, seeing that their thoughts were intent upon evil, he expressed his purpose by his spirit, saying, I will take away their spirits. For strictly speaking, when a man is asleep, his spirit is said to be taken away, and especially so when it happens by drowning, in which case the breath is cut off by the entrance of water. And so in the case of the spirits, he put his purpose into execution. Just as also in the spirits, there was a slumber of the night, phulax. And both of these things Peter finally expressed. Chapter 7. From this we may learn that the Almighty Ruler of the spirits of all flesh is working in our spirits when we are not thinking or are sleeping, which is highly suitable to our times, for all are sleeping in the night watch. Nor do Christ and Peter refresh our memories of this without reason. For what do we see today on the face of the earth but sons of Elohim? sons of the great adulterous pastors of the church, all led astray by idle thoughts, who eat and drink and devote themselves to luxury even as did they. There is none that seeks after Christ, and they say we cannot err. There seems to be a contradiction in what has been said. Why did God say, "My spirit in man," if they were led by evil spirits? To this it must be said that the spirit of man always has either the spirit of God or the spirit of a devil resident in it, and over this a life and death struggle takes place. For even if we are driven by a wicked spirit, yet the Spirit of God always warns us at some time, and when it sees us incorrigible, it says, "My spirit shall not strive in man, for that he is flesh." And this reads here in the Hebrew, "lo jardon," that is, "my spirit shall not judge, shall not dispute in man, and forever." But the sentence was then once for all and final. And this is what Peter's saying, ekarexon, meant. For if you compare all, they agree admirably. Chapter 8. Paul says that God created all things through Jesus Christ, his Son. And the meaning of this matter we ought to look into. For the interpretation of those who would have it understood that the worlds were made by the second being is altogether perverse. For the whole language of Paul speaks of the man Jesus Christ. It is to be understood, therefore, that when the Word was made flesh, so great a mystery lies hid in this matter that the same power of the oracle of God by which the worlds were made, the same and as great as it then was, is now in Christ, made his very own. So that Christ says it is his own, as when he says, "All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine." And the power of the Word became the power of the flesh, as clearly as the Word became flesh. Thus Christ can say that the worlds were made by his power. And it means the same, whether I say, "was made through me," or "was made by my power." And note the "by him," for it means one thing to say Christ created, and another to say we're created through Christ. And herein is the wisdom of Paul, for he alone mentions this matter. And it is not without significance that Paul so often repeats, "through his Son," "through Christ," "through whom," "through him." That is, through the secret power of his Word. For you can say that that was made through you which had once been made through your spirit, if the spirit had preceded the flesh. And observe that such a spirit as this is in you, and some such evil spirit, was in Simon Magus, when he said that the worlds had been made by his power. For he had adopted that way of speaking from the discussions of the apostles, so that the apostles were no more believed when they said that the worlds were made through Christ than was he when he boasted such things of himself. If then, in imagination, the power of the Word and the eternal Spirit were in you as they were in Christ, then if you speak by the Spirit, you can say that you were there, because the flesh is nothing. And you would remember all these things, and would be observing the creation of things face to face, present to you within yourself, and you would say that the worlds were made through you, that is, by the word of that power which is within you. And this is what the apostle means in the chapter cited. For just as he spoke of the creation, so he continues about the government and direction, so that those things are said to be made and governed through Christ, which are made and governed by the word of his power. For God girded him with power and might, even because the word which was in the beginning was the very power of Christ. Thus it says, "With thee is the beginning, in the day of thy power." And it is not without significance that Paul, among other things, calls Christ the power of God. Chapter 9. In the same way, the apostle, in the chapter cited from Ephesians, declares that all things were made through Christ, exclaiming throughout the whole epistle at the exceeding greatness of the power of God in Christ, and the working of the strength of his might, the surpassing wealth of his grace, the unsearchable riches, the breadth, length, and height. And so he indicates that in a mysterious way, the worlds were made through Christ. The same thought is indicated in the chapter cited from Colossians, so that through Christ, that is, through all the fullness that is in him, working unto a mystery, God is said to have created and reconciled all things. That this is the thought John also indicates to us, being led by the same Spirit with Paul, and in agreement with him. For what Paul says was made through Christ, John says was made by the Word itself, as if the power which was once that of the Word were today Christ's. Just as Christ, therefore, felt within himself the majesty of the Father abiding in him. As when he said, "No one knoweth the Father save the Son." And just as he perceived in his spirit the reasonings of the Pharisees, so also when he was in the Spirit of God before all times, he uttered his words in the way in which he considered in his spirit that they had from eternity been with his Father. And he perceived that all things created by God were made by the power which is in himself. And so one who observes his spiritual power will admit that all things were created through Christ and through his power. Through Christ, therefore, the worlds were made, because I say that all things which my hand has made have been made through me. And the power of the word uttered from the beginning is that of Christ himself, and is his own, and is as appropriate to Christ as hand to body. And the demons cast out by the finger of God were said to be cast out by Christ. And this is itself the Word of God and the Spirit of the power of God. Therefore, the worlds were made through Christ because they were made by his finger. You've been listening to On the Errors of the Trinity by Michael Servetus. A rare book.